There is a pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Lamed Zayin. Pasuk says, Goyel al Hashem darkecho, commit your way to Hashem, uvitacholov, and rely on Hashem. Vehu yaseh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act. So the pasuk says, Goyel al Hashem darkecho, the pasuk says, commit your way to Hashem, uvitacholov, and rely on Hashem, rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vehu yaseh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will act. The B'chaim Elojin once said a pshat in the meaning of this pasuk, Goyel al Hashem darkecho uvitacholov. Obviously the pasuk is talking about bitochen, something we spoke about this past Shabbos. Uvitacholov, it's important that a person really relies and has trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And B'chaim Elojin pointed out, and he said, that the difference between something that is round as to something that is square, if someone needs to transport an item, memokim lemokim, from one place to another, assuming let's say you have a box, it's not simply an empty box, it's a box that's filled with tzchayre, and you have to carry it from place to place. If it's a square box, then there's no real answer, there's no other alternative, but really you have to pick it up and you have to carry it. However, if you're transporting something that's round, like barrels of wine, he said, not necessarily you always have to carry it. But being that it's round, what you can do is put it on the ground and just roll it. And actually, you just push it, you begin, and once you start it off, it just continues to roll automatically. So Chaim pointed out that the truth is, we have to understand what is our role in Ishtadlis. How much are we really doing, and how much really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing? The truth is, all that we are doing is only the Atzchol, we're only doing the beginning. But all the rest of it, even though we may not see it, we may not recognize it, it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he interpreted the pasuk as follows. Goyel al Hashem darkecho. Goyel means all you're doing is starting the roll. Goyel al Hashem darkecho. Uvtacholov. However, you trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but who yaseh, he will be doing it. When it comes to doing things that we have to do, we realize that it is not our power, it is not our intellect. It appears that way. But the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that blesses our acts and gives it the success that ultimately it is. It is the bitochen, and according to the degree of the bitochen that we have, we'll be successful in what we are doing. But actually it is only goyel al Hashem. Goyel means from galgal, from rolling it. That is the idea. That is the understanding. That is what David HaMelech is trying to tell us. That we should realize that, in fact, we only start things off, but in truth and in reality, it is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu who really completes the act and gives it the success that we enjoy. Another interesting thing is that Rav Shach, a number of years ago, he pointed out that when the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger came out, and it was brought to Rav Chaim Volozhin, he saw it for the very first time. He saw the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Chaim was tremendously spoiled. He really was very, very impressed, he said, by the tremendous scholarship and the Gadlus B'Torah of Rabbi Kiveger. But in particular, as Rabbi Shach pointed out, the comment that Rabbi Chaim Volozhin made regarding the Shalos Yeshuvos of Rabbi Kiveger, the comment that he made was, and he said as follows. He says, as the Lomdus and the scholarship that Rabbi Kiveger displays in every tshuva, said Rabbi Chaim, I can also do that. However, what I can't do is, the fact is that he's able to respond almost immediately after he receives the shaila. I need a good couple of days, he says, first to work through the sugya, and then be able to write the tshuva. In other words, he pointed out, as Rav Shach made note, many of the tshuvas, if you go through Rabbi Kiveger, you'll see it starts, Esmoil Higiyani Shailosoi. Yesterday I received your shaila, and today is already writing the tshuva. To write a tshuva with such scholarship sometimes takes days, weeks, it could even take you months to be able to really to arrive and to be able to really to produce these kind of tshuvas. So Reb Chaim says, I can also produce these kind of tshuvas, but not at the speed at the way Reb Kiveger is able to do it. That was particular godless. How Reb Chaim Volozhin pointed out in terms of Reb Kiveger. It's interesting to point out we are on the road to Shavuos. quite soon. Lag BaOmer is coming up. Lag BaOmer is already 2/3 of the way there. This is Zalman Meltzer, was a Talmud of the Lojin, but not from Reb Chaim. He was a Talmud of Lojin in the Tzitz, was a descendant of Reb Chaim. This is Zalman Meltzer once told Reb Shach. Reb Shach was his nephew, because Reb Shach was the son-in-law of Reb Issa Zalman's sister. So this is Zalman Meltzer once told Reb Shach, he says, that I remember a hearing of a Lojin from the Netziv himself. And the Netziv quoted a Ran, that the Ran says in one of his drushes, and by the way, the same thing also is brought down in the Shloah Kodesh. The Shloah Kodesh writes that in the same way that we all know that Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin, Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. Because that was, by the way, that was the first time that Odom Arishon was Oymed Bedin, also, as we know, was on Rosh Hashanah, and that became the Yom Adin for all of mankind. Year after year, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. We also know that on Sukkot, it's the Yom Adin, it's the day of judgment regarding water. How much water there will be in the world. Will there be enough rain? Will there not be enough rain? And so on and so forth. Whether the world will merit, there should be an abundance of rain, or maybe possibly, Chas v'Shalom, a shortage of rain. Because Sukkot is the yontif of pouring wine, instead of wine only, with water, Nisuch HaMayim. So being that it's the yontif of water, Sukkot, that's the Simchat Beis HaSheva, what it's all about. So therefore, Gemara tells us that Bechag Nidoinan Alamayim. Pesach, we know, is a day of judgment regarding Tevuah. Regarding Tevuah, regarding corn, regarding grains. Because on Pesach, what we do is we bring the Korban Ho'emer, which is the Mincha, which is the meal offering, which is from barley. Says the Ram, and says the Shloah Kodesh, so too, just like every season is the Yom Adin for its particular situation, says the Ram and the Shloah Kodesh, says Shavuos, which is the Zman of Matan Torah to Klal Yisrael, that's the Yom Adin of Kabbalah Satorah for each individual. In other words, Shavuos will be determined how much Torah you're going to have that year. Which basically means is it behooves very strongly that on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that we put in extra effort in actually being mispalo and being davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we should be zeichet to really have our great share in Torah, and we should be zeichet to Kabbalah Satorah on the highest level possible. Because Shavuos is the Yom Adin for Kabbalah Satorah for each individual. So in the same in Rosh Hashanah, we spend a lot of time davening, because we know it's a Yom Adin. We're praying for our lives, for our panoseh, for everything else. Shavuos is also a very important time. It's for our spiritual standing in terms of how much Torah we will acquire. So again, it's mentioned in the Ran and also in the Shloah Kodesh. Just as an aside, Rosh Zalman said that he also heard from the Netziv, that the Netziv says, in order to really have the Siyata Dishmaya, the Chus, in really understanding Torah properly, it's all Min HaShemayim, and therefore the Netziv said that on a particular day, on any particular day, if he did not daven with proper Kavon, Ahava Rabba, where we say, V'hoyer Einenu B'Sai Resecho, he said, that day, he did not have the Chus to really be Mechadish, he says, a real good Chiddush in Torah. And now the Chiddush in Torah and the Shurim that he said, was he credited to the fact that he had special Siyata Dishmaya, and it was because of his tefillah, because of his davening, with being mispalto, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him that chus. In the day that he did not really say with enough kavanah, I can imagine him if Mustam did, but he took himself the task, that he did not say it with his level of kavanah kavanah, he said he was not zeicher that day to be mechadosh chus shtoy. So it's an interesting thing. So Zalman said that he heard it from the tziv. It's also mentioned that she was Masham. Masham was later. The Masham says it b'shem the Rebbe of Shmelke of Nicholsburg. It was earlier, way earlier. The Mishmalke of Nicholsburg already said that, and the Masham, the Chuvus Masham, the Rajana wrote, Toysik Hador. So he mentions that he said that a day that he was not Mispalo Ahava Rabba appropriately, that day he did not have the Siyata Dishmai to be Mechadish, a Chiddush, a real Chiddush Shalemis. So in terms of how much Torah we will learn, or how much Torah we will be able really to comprehend, and really to be able to acquire, we need a Siyata Dishmai, it's like anything, it's Min HaShemayim, but we have to do our part, and we have to be mispalo with the Dam HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us this chus, to be able to enjoy as much Torah as possible. But it's an interesting thing, the Chazon Ish once pointed out, and the Chazon Ish said, he said, and this is written, he said, B'li Yir Shemayim, he says, Yefshar Sheyeda Odom Lilmod Al Derech Emes. Without Yir Shemayim, a person who's not really an observant deed, who follows B'derech HaTorah cannot really have the true understanding in Torah. You can understand on a superficial level, on a simple level, but really to be able to go into the depths of Torah, he says, you have to have Yir Shemayim. Because Torah is Chochmas Hashem. It's part of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu in order to be able to have the schut to understanding Torah. Without your Shemayim, said the Chazon Ish, Yevshu Sheyei the Odom, it's impossible that a person should really know Torah Derech Emes. And then he went further. Ulam, he says, Yesh B'nei Odom, there are people, Sheheim Yerushimayim, they are Yerushimayim, and still they don't know how to learn. Chazon Ish's level. Real learning, he said, you know why? Because there's something else which is mentioned in the Mishnah of Omris. The Memchez Devarim HaTorah Niknes Behem. That there are 48 things, there are 48 particular character traits that a person is supposed to have, the Mishnah says in Omris in the last Perek Shishi. And these are crucial in order to really have a complete and a whole wholesome kinyan in Torah. And therefore you can be really a Yerushimayim. But if you do not work on the 48 kinyonim, on the 48 drachim and paths that person has to have these particular character traits, midos, then again there will be a deficiency. And you will not have the real schus, the real schus of comprehending Torah to the maximum of your ability. So again, this is the avodin the Yemei HaSfira, as the Alter from Kelmont pointed out. We count Sfira 49 days. He says 49 days of Sfira is the Hakona, the preparation to Kabbalah Satayra. First 48 days is each day to acquire one more Midah of the Memches, Devorim, Shatayra, Nikas Ben. We need 48 days to work on another Midah. 48 days is 48 Kinyonim. And on the 49th, once we did all 48, so Chazar over to repeat and to review, to really make sure that we have it down pat. And then we are ready truly for Kabbalah Satayra. So this again is one of the major things that we have to realize when it comes to learning Torah. There are prerequisites. Learning Torah is not simply an intellectual exercise that all you need is simply a human material brain like studying anything else, whether it's mathematics, philosophy, whatever it is, because Torah is Chochmas Hashem, it's Hashem's wisdom. And therefore it demands and behooves a behavior that is consistent and is homogeneous with the Kedushas HaTorah and the purity of Torah. So we go here, Rabbi Tzai. We are now Shar Aleph Perek Chof. In Shar Aleph Perek Chof, let me just mention, this is really the last Perek of the sort of the Kabbalistic items that Reb Chaim Volozhin here brings down. Again, it was our decision not to skip them, and we sort of tried to make some light out of it. Let me just point out, if you take a look a little bit at the handout that we have over here, let's take a look at the sheet. Okay, the handout, as we see, is from a Sefer Kabbalah, which was compiled by a person who wrote many, many, many Sfarim, translated many, many Sfarim, as you see. So the Sefer is actually called Kabbalah, from Rabbi Romyanke Finkel. So he brings here, first of all, this is something when we had the Shurim on the Tanya, we went into it more deeply. The reason I'm mentioning it here is because this is something that will help us understand one of the lines in Perek Chof coming up right now in the Nefesh HaChaim. We'll understand it. We actually spoke about it already, but there's nothing like seeing it right here on the page. If you see here, the first thing is you take a look. We spoke about that there are really Esser Spheres. There are the ten really spiritual forces of energy. And if you take a look here, you see the first three on top is Keser, Chochma, Bina. You have one, two, and three. Keser, Chochma, Bina. Now these are the highest levels. These are the top of the ten. Then it's followed by another seven, starting with number four, which is Chesed, and Gevurah, which is on the left side, is number five. Then the middle is Tiferes. Then number seven, which is Netzach, and Hoyd, which is number eight, and nine, which is Yesod, and ten, which is Malchus. Again, when we went through Tanya in various Shurim, we went through this. Our objective is not to go through each and every one now, but just to point out that these ten forces of energy that we see over here, the first three again, Keser, Chochma, Bina, and then the next seven that we have, these ten forces exist in all three levels of the soul. In other words, we have Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Nefesh comprises of these ten forces that we have here, as we see here on the sheet, Keser, Chochma, Bina, and so on and so forth. Then also Ruach, which is the next level, which is the higher level, which is the next level, which is above Nefesh. Ruach also consists of these Esser Spheres, of these ten. And then Neshama, which is the highest level, right? Which is the highest level. And as we already learned, as Reb Chaim told us, that once Adam Rishon was chayte, he sinned, so the neshama which originally was contained within the gufa Adam no longer is contained within our bodies, but rather the neshama, which is the highest level of the soul, actually only hovers over the head of a person, and a person is only able to glean the sparks, as it were, the sparks of his neshama, according to how worthy he is, according to how his avodah allows him to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will glean all the more sparks of Kedusha from the neshama area. So these ten, as we see, these Esser spheres, as we see here, these ten forces, these ten spheres, we call them the ten emanations, basically, consist by Nefesh, and also Ruach and Neshama. Now we pointed out, Keser, as you see, which is the top one, Keser, which is the top one, so in the level of Nefesh, Keser is the top, so it touches, right, the bottom of the upper of Ruach. Now the bottom is Malchus, as you can see here. Malchus is number 10. So Ruach, which is the higher level, which is right above Nefesh, so the bottom is always Malchus. So Keter, which is the peak, which is the top of Nefesh, right, will be right underneath Malchus of Ruach. And again, and Keter of Ruach, which is the top, which will be the peak of Ruach, will be right underneath Malchus of Neshama. Because Malchus is on the bottom, Keter is on top. So Nefesh is on the bottom, Ruach is on top of Nefesh. So the top of Nefesh is underneath Ruach. The top of Nefesh is the energy called Keter, which is the highest level, is on the bottom of Ruach, which is Malchus. And the same thing, Ruach. The Keter of Ruach is right underneath the bottom of Malchus, which is again, of Neshama. Which of Neshama. So, we learned that if he does certain particular Averis, then a certain particular Averis, which is through action, through Maisim, he sins by doing various pulis, various actions. These actions basically taint and tarnish the Chelik Nefesh. The Chelik Nefesh corresponds to action, to Maisim, to deeds, which is the lowest part, the lowest portion of the three levels, Nefesh. A person is capable of doing an Aveir which is so serious that the Oynish of the Torah says is Koris, as we learned. Koris means to be cut off. Now Koris, as Reb Chaim already taught us, which is the good news, there's the good news and the bad news. The bad news is that if you do particular Aveiris, Koris means the Chelik Nefesh becomes cut off. Because comes from a spiritual source, really becomes cut off. And therefore, it is not able anymore to enjoy any spiritual energy because it's cut off from the source, Chelik Nefesh. However, the good news is, first of all, Ruach is never cut off. It can be tarnished, it can be tainted at the higher level of the soul. And Neshama certainly cannot be affected. Koris is only limited. Koris, per se, is only limited to the Chelik of Nefesh. We have that. But the good news is, even in that part, that even within the Chelik Nefesh, what can be cut off? Only the lower nine. In other words, Keser still remains connected to Ruach. So if you look here on the sheet, which portions of Nefesh? Koris, again, is limited to Nefesh, starting from number two. Number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, all the lower nine. However, Keser still remains intact in order to be able to retrieve, to bring up again, if a person does tshuva, he should be able again to reconnect to Ruach, and Ruach is connected to Neshama and so on. So the good news is that even when one is Chayiv Koris, and his Chelik Nefesh has been cut off, the good news is that it's not cut off completely. Not all ten forces are cut off. It's only the lower nine. In other words, starting from Chochmah, because Chochmah is number two, right? The peak is number one. The one beneath it is Chochmah, number two, right? Even lower, number three, and even lower, even lower, even lower. So starting from Chochmah, which is down to the bottom, is only the lower nine. These can become cut off. But the Chelik Keser, even if you did on a Veir of Koris, the Chelik Keser, so that portion of the Nefesh still remains. That's the portion, again, that makes contact, so to speak, with Ruach. That remains in order to be able to come back and reconnect and become unified, as it were, before through Tshuva. So having said that, now we can begin. And take a look. What Reb Chaim is saying here, starting here in Perek Chof. Reb Chaim starting here in Perek Chof. And what we'll see, and what we'll see here is, in fact, what we're going to see is Reb Chaim starts off here. There's a few paragraphs. First, he talks about the level of tshuva, how we go about tshuva, removing, in other words, a stain from the nefesh. Then we'll talk about how does it work removing a stain from Ruach, and how we go about, again, he talks about Neshama, which we'll leave that for a little bit later. So Reb Chaim begins, the Nefesh HaChaim begins as follows. Again, he wants to tell us how we remove a stain from Nefesh once we did an Aveira. As a result, we stained the Nefesh, right? And even if we stained it in the worst way, as we said, the lower nine levels of the Nefesh has been torn away, has been sullied, has been totally been dejected. How are we able to remove the stain and reconnect the Nefesh back to its original state? And we'll see that the way it's going to work is, it's through its connection to Ruach and Neshama. And the way he works it out is as follows. Reb Chaim goes on to say, Reb Chaim says, "Ubir protis seder tikunam his kashrusam al yedei hatshuva." In order to understand how we are able to be misakin, to rectify the levels of Nefesh and Ruach by being connected, interconnected one with the other, how does it work? And Reb Chaim through tshuva, how does it work? In other words, what is the roadmap? What is really the spiritual roadmap, right, that enables to bring back the neshama from its separation? What is the roadmap? How does the nefesh become revitalized again? How does nefesh become revitalized? How does ruach become revitalized after you do tshuva? Well, first, when you sin, says Reb Chaim, shekasher pogam ha'adam b'chinas nafshus. When a person sinned now on the level of nefesh, this is how he begins. Then he'll talk about on the level of ruach. Because again, through action, through ma'aseh, a person basically tarnishes the chelik of nefesh. So when a person is pagan, when a person sins and he stains the bechin of nefesh, oyaf, even if he did worse, he said, not only he stained it, but it's very possible, he said, oyaf im goram chaz visholem, it's possible sometimes that he caused shenipsiku v'nichrusu, this is the card that we just spoke about, that the nefesh has been torn away, Kol ha-teisha, you see here the nine, sfiroiseo, mechoch mulamato. Now that we have the sheep, we can understand what he's talking about. Because there's 10. You start with keser on the top, you have 10. But keser, as we said, is never torn away. Keser, the fourth of keser, which is the peak of nefesh, is never torn away. The most that a person can do damage to nefesh is tear away the nine, the lower nine. That's what Reb Chaim, this explains the words of Reb Chaim is saying, shenipsiku v'nichlusu kol ha-teisha sfiroiseo. Because these are the eser spheres, the 10 forces of energy. 9 of them can be torn away. The 9 levels of the nefesh can be torn away. Mechochmo lamata. Chochmo is number 2, if you remember, right underneath keser. So from chochma down, all the way down, a person through his aderis can really cause all those 9 levels to be torn away. Mehis kashrusa hanal, hanal mitaniskelel. From being connected, right, from being connected to each other, and then to Ruach and to Neshama. Even more, a person sometimes can sin so terribly, as he points out, that Vateret Peloim Leimke Mitzulois HaKlipois Chaz Visholem. Nefesh HaChaim says that it's possible to a person to sin so terribly that he sinks to the bottom of the morass of evil. So low. That's what he means. Vateret Peloim, which means unimaginable depths he can ascend. He can fall so deeply, he says, Le'imke to the depth, le'imke mitzulois haklipois, chaz v'sholem, which means he really sinks to the bare bottom, to the bottom of the morass of evil. Nevertheless, says Reb Chaim, don't despair. Never think that it's all lost, but rather, oz al yedei vidui devarim. But if a person with sincere verbal confession, he says, be'emes, sincere, me'umke deliba, from the depth of his heart. In other words, confession is not merely a formula, just go and confess. It's meaningless. Confession really means, when a person confesses to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it means he acknowledges that he did wrong and therefore commits himself and he resolves truly he's going to change his ways. Simply confessing doesn't mean anything. It's a bizarre to confess and you don't mean it at all. So the union of confessing only has meaning if in fact he's going to go in the direction of his confession. If he goes in the direction of his confession, then it has meaning. Shon Shadron used to point out how it looks like, and he put it like in sort of like a ridiculous way. He says a person sort of, he confesses, but he has no notion, but he really has no real intent of changing his ways at all. He confesses. So what's that going to do for him? He's still going the same way that he's going on. So he gave the following notion, the following example. He says a person bought a ticket to go on a boat, on a train, let's say, in a particular destination. Supposed to be going north. stay there. Turns out, gets on a train, the train is going south. Rinzi is on the wrong train. Instead of getting off the train, he starts walking backwards on the train. Now the train is still going north, but he thinks by walking backwards on the train, you're still going in the wrong direction, he says. You have to change course, he says, to get off that train. Person starts confessing, and he's still going the same direction, the old direction, he says. Doesn't mean anything. It's like walking backwards on a train that's taking you the other direction. You can walk backwards all you want. You're going along where the train is going, he says. Vidui to have any meaning is if you have to really change direction. You have to get on the right train, he says. You get on the right train. That's the vidui. That's what the Chaim says. Although yidei vidui devarim ve'em is mumke deliba. Ba'akim asfosov, he says, b'chinis nefesh deruach. He really speaks out his words coming down really from the depths of his soul. If a person really confesses, he says, sincerely, you have no idea what those words do. And Chaim tells us amazing things. Again, how far-reaching those words automatically, they are whisked, he says. Not only, he says, from heaven, from earth to heaven, but it goes to the highest level. Reb Chaim points out, he says, Ma'oyre b'kol devarim shaloi ad le'elo ule'elo. His words of tshuva, he says, will reach the loftiest spiritual heights above. The loftiest spiritual heights above. Those words of tshuva, those words of vidui. The Geirin, now, and what happens as a result? Okay, so his words, his confession goes all the way up to Shemayim. What's it do? What's accomplishing? What's achieving? These words of tshuva go up to the Shemayim, all the way up, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and becomes a vehicle to bring down, additionally says, forces of Kedusha. He says, the Geirin, and those words cause, those words cause a flow of additional Kedusha to emanate from Hashem himself. And where does it go? Where does that flow of Kedusha go? It goes to the root of his Neshama. Let's remember, at this point, he defiled his Nefesh. His Ruach is intact, his Neshama is intact. But how does his Nefesh become revitalized? So the words of Tshuva, now this is the roadmap. His words of tshuva go le'elo le'elo, go all the way up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they extract forces of Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which goes into the root of his neshama. Let's remember, the neshama has a root. So when we talk about neshama, the root is even higher. So what happens is, those forces of Kedusha that is now being extracted from Hashem himself, goes into the root of the neshama. From there, from the root of the neshama, the root feeds the neshama itself. And the neshama being connected to Ruach, those forces of Kedusha continue, go down into Ruach, and Ruach now feeds it into Nefesh, revitalizes Nefesh. That is the roadmap how the tshuva works, to heal, bring back healing, and spiritual uplifting back, to bring the Nefesh that has been torn away, has been dejected, and has been defiled, able to become one again with its old connection, the threesome, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. That's Reb Chaim, as you see it in so many words. He says it very clearly. Let's go further. I just explained it a little bit ahead of time. Chaim says again that the Tosefes Kedusha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tosefes Kedusha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. And where does it go? It goes at Shoyrish HaNeshama, Tchila. First it reaches the root of the Neshama, which is even higher than the Neshama. The root is way up there. Pumisham, and from the root, where does it go? Those new forces of Kedusha, where does it go? It goes to Neshamotai, to the neshama proper, the ruchai, and to ruach, the spirit, and v'haruach. And now he says, his ruach, mavhik oiroi hagodol. Listen to this. The ruach then conveys this great light to the nefesh element. The nefesh element is ultimately which needs the healing in this case. So the ruach conveys this tremendous light to the nefesh element of the soul. V'haruach, mavhik oiroi hagodol hanishpa olof. The tremendous light that ruach received from the neshama, that received from the root of the neshama, right? That emanated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So it goes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the root of the neshama. From the root of the neshama, all this kedusha goes into the neshama itself, neshama proper. Then the neshama proper goes into ruach, and from ruach, the ruach shines and releases this tremendous light into the nefesh element. He says, gam, he says, it goes also into al-bechinis ha-nefesh. It goes down into the bechinis ha-nefesh. It goes into the Bechinis HaNefesh, says Nitzav his kashrus because they are connected. Shenishar adayin b'nei. Let's remember, because even under the worst of circumstances, nefesh still was somewhat connected to ruach. How did we show it? Keser, through keser. All that was removed, the most that was removed is the nine levels of nefesh was removed, the lower nine. But even after the removal of the lower nine, nefesh still remained connected to ruach, which means it's still able to receive from ruach. Because through the medium of keser, which is the peak of nefesh, right? So the peak of nefesh, which is keser, it is still connected to ruach. So therefore, nefesh is always ready and able to receive from ruach. So when ruach receives that tremendous avalanche of kedusha, the tremendous force of kedusha from neshama, who received it from the root of the neshama, who received it directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through his tshuva, thought it was tshuva, right? So now, so when ruach gets it, when ruach has it, ruach now is in contact with nefesh, right, through the keser portion. So now the ruach releases all that tremendous kedusha, forces of life of kedusha, into nefesh. He said, and what does it do? At that point, what it does is it erases all the forces of evil that nefesh has, the spiritual light, the spiritual force that is now being transmitted from ruchim to nefesh. He says, lechalois, he says, to destroy. He says, this will destroy, he says, ulahosem, and to make complete. To destroy, he says, ha-koiches hora u-madreges atumen. This will basically, it will destroy, he says, every last trace of the forces of evil and impurity. It will erase it. The nine bechinas that were lost, it will now release from the grip of the shells of evil. Because the nine, what happens when it was cut off, when the nine madrigas were cut off, chorus. You know what happens? It goes into the klipois. Klipois are the shells of evil. It's like trapped, like imprisoned. But now through this tremendous new surge of force of kedusha, that ruach shines and releases upon nefesh. So now that those force of kedusha goes and penetrates the lower nine that had been defiled, and are, as we said, trapped. And they are trapped in the grip of the shells of evil. So now they become purified and become erased. All of the traces of evil where it was encased and smothered it till now. The Lazar, and as a result now, it nefesh can come and turn back, go back again to its original state. Lazar to lekashrom kabarishoinon bechines ruach. And amela, it goes back to its previous bond with ruach, is restored through the medium of tshuva. So this is the way the Nefesh HaChayim tells us, this is the roadmap, this is what takes place. We don't see it, we don't know, these are things behind the scenes. Everything that happens within our spiritual body, with our neshama, with our nefesh, with our ruach, these are elements we don't know. So this is being revealed to us by the Chaim here, Nefesh HaChayim, this is what happens. So this is the connection, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, even under the worst of circumstances. Nefesh, the keser of nefesh always remains intact with ruach. It's only the lower nine that can be destroyed temporarily or can be removed and can be, as we said, separated and severed. But when you do tshuva, the tshuva goes all the way la'elo la'elo. The vidui devarim is an imke deliba, which comes from the depth of one's heart. And those words go up to Shemayim and bring out, right, bring out forces of kedusha from Hashem himself. Spiritual energy, kedusha, purity, which is piped into the shayrish, into the root of the neshama. That's the pipeline. Those are the tracks. That's where it goes. To the root of the neshama, into the neshama proper. Neshama makes contact with ruach, and then ruach releases all of that energy into nefesh, and it is able to restore and bring nefesh back, and now you have the threesome again, the bond back. Nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So this is level number one. There's level number one, how the stain from nefesh is removed. Now Reb Chaim goes on further. And Reb Chaim now talks about how do we remove damage to ruach. Let's remember, damage to ruach, that's done through speech. Because ruach corresponds to speech, as we said. And machshava, let's remember, is neshama. Machshava is keneged neshama, corresponds to thought process, that corresponds to the element of neshama. So now Reb Chaim is referring to how are we able to remove damages to the ruach. Reb Chaim says, "V'chein im pogam v'kilku." If a person was pogam v'kilku, he says, "B'chines ruach ruchay chaz v'sholem." If a person really was pogam, a person really caused damage to the bechina. That person caused damage to the bechina of his ruach. And again, as we already learned many times, that this is through the bechina. This is through the bechina of speech. So the koyach of speech, you can cause damage to that. What happens is, this can take place either Again, this takes place either by using his mouth, by saying words, slander. He slanders someone. Again, this is also min ha-toyeh. So, of course, this will cause damage to the ruach. Oy bishar avoynois, or other averis, hatluim, which are contingent bebechinas ruach, or other types of averis, which basically that blemish his ruach. And Chaim points out, more than anything that can blemish your ruach, he says, ubitul Torah keneged kulam. The neglect of Torah study. Just, he says, wanton neglect. And as wanton neglect, you have time, you're able to learn, and just you're just not interested, you're just not learning. By the way, learning can be done on any level. Any level is called learning, according to a person's ability. The person shouldn't think, you know, I don't have the ability to learn those deep subjects or very complicated subjects. You don't have to learn complicated subjects if that's not where you're at. But any type of level of learning, learning is learning. Torah is Torah. So that means it says, the Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. Talmud Torah is keneged kulam. So it's not only as we see Dvarim B'Teilim, actually actively using your speech wrongly, but even sitting back doing nothing. Doing nothing means not learning. Bittul Torah. That can also damage your ruach. And he says, keneged kulam. It can be more than anything, he says. More than anything, that is something that is able to damage one's ruach, he says. And he goes further. And the higbir, as a result, he empowers. So now what happens, if you damage your ruach, know what you do? Not only you're damaging and tarnishing your ruach, but the higbir you are empowering in contrast, but now you are empowering the forces of impurity. So you're making it even doubly worse. Not only you're not simply just tarnishing ruach, but you're adding forces of tumah, forces of evil, forces of impurity upon yourself. And by the way, if ruach becomes tarnished, so nefesh becomes affected. It's the neighbor, the immediate neighbor. Nefesh is lower than ruach. But even if you didn't do something to directly, right, to directly cause damage to nefesh, but by damaging ruach, nefesh also becomes lowered in its madrega, has a dissension. He says, v'ozgam nafshoy ein shleimah kimekedet. And therefore, as a result, it says, even his nefesh also is also affected. Why? Because it receives, why? Kihi mikabela shefa chiyusa v'oira al yidei haruach yidua. Because as we pointed out a number of times, nefesh receives its vitality from his ruach. And if his ruach is damaged, is weakened, then his nefesh is weakened. So if his ruach is weakened, that automatically affects his nefesh as well. Says Reb Chaim. So what does a person do in order to rectify his ruach? And you're going to notice that Reb Chaim says in the process of tshuva, ruach is a higher level than nefesh. It needs a little bit more. Now the vidu devarim that we mentioned before, is not simply enough when it comes, which is, he said, verbal confession, even with the intent, as we said, to do tshuva. But when it comes to rectifying your nefesh, Reb Chaim basically gives us sort of like a regiment of three things he mentions. And these are the following, he says. Hinei, number one, he says, al yidei hacharota amitis b'leif. The first thing, a person has to have true remorse. That is the first thing. A person has to have genuine remorse, right, and tshuva. And as a right, that's the one thing he says. Ayidei hacharota mitis b'leiv. Not only that, it's not just that he had genuine remorse. U'mismarmar al goydel chetoy. It means that the truth is that he davens and he bemoans his fact. He verbalizes the pain of his chet. He cries out to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shalom, help me. Help me purify myself. Help me restore my spiritual standing. Mismarmar means he expresses his tsar. He davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ke'inyan, as we see, as it says in Eicho. In Eicho we find, it says, Tzoak libo mel Hashem. That the Asher, that he cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In addition to that, u'meharer hirurit tshuva b'machshova. And of course, he has to have thoughts of tshuva in his mind. Because the mind, again, that's the really, the resting place. Remember we said that a person gleans sparks of the neshama hovers over him. He gleans sparks. Where do those sparks, when he gleans those sparks, where do they rest? They rest in the mind. He says, Shehi Mishkam, because that is the resting place, Nitzutze Or HaNeshama, that's the mind. And therefore the mind has to be purified. That has to be purified. So therefore the person has to have all of these things. He has to have Charota. He has to have Tzoka. He has to cry out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He has to have the Hirhuri Tshuva. He has to have the positive, he says, Machshavas, thought process. In terms of purifying himself. As a result, Ma'oire Gamken Le'elo, as we said before, so now when you have the tshuva in process, so now we go back like by nefesh, where it happens, the tshuva process goes all the way up to Shemayim, the tshuva process goes all the way up, way, way up high. And again, lahashpia techilas, right? Going back like before, that the tshuva causes an increased kedusha to flow to his shayrish neshama, to the root of his neshama. Then the same say that the same roadmap goes repeats itself the same way. From there to his neshama, the him av hekes. And once it's in neshama, neshama has contact with ruach. So neshama releases that tremendous force of kedusha, zivayra, the tremendous spiritual light, the tremendous spiritual light of Kedusha is now being transmitted, he says, to Ruach, as he says, the tremendous Kedusha, Shinish Poleo, that Neshama received, right, he now transmits it, Gamal Bechinus, Ruach. One more thing a person needs, a broken heart. Zibchelekim, you need Hachnor, you have to be humble in front of Hashem. The proper, one of the key elements, in addition to what we've mentioned, you have to have Charot, you have to have remorse. A person has that tzaka, cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you have to stand humbly before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zivchei lekim ruach nishbara. What is the true carbon? The true sacrifice is the broken heart. To have a broken heart, he says, nothing can accomplish the extent of a broken heart. V'shoiver koyach ruach hatumah. He says, a broken heart, he says, will break the spiritual contamination. The spiritual contamination that was brought to ruach will become shattered, he says. Will become, literally become shattered. And now it becomes purified, right? To allow Ruach again to make contact with Neshama as it was prior to sin, right? And to become reattached to his Neshama in perfect union as before. As he said, and when he's successful with Ruach, that will automatically also have the positive effect on the Nefesh, because we said Nefesh was automatically affected from Ruach. To restore it to its original shleimus, to its original completeness. So therefore, we have now, this is, again, ruach. How the tshuva mechanism works regarding ruach, in order to be able to remove, again, right, to remove the stain from ruach. Now, he points out, machshav, as we know, thought, is corresponds to neshama. If a person allows impure thoughts to remain in his mind, it's not just that his mind is polluted, his mind became contaminated, but that can have an effect on one's neshama, which is the highest level as well. What do you mean has an effect on neshama? The neshama cannot be tainted. What it means is, it removes his ability to glean from the sparks, as we said, of kedusha that comes from neshama. Because let's repeat again, neshama is something that hovers over the person. It's no longer contained within the body of the person, because after the chet of Adam Rishon, it was removed. And Reb Chaim Volozhin told us a number of prokim back, only Moshe Rabbeinu was the one, even after the chet of Adam Rishon, who elevated and purified his body to the extent that his neshama was contained. Neshama, which is the highest level, was contained within his body. That's what Moshe, again, is called Moshe Isha Lekim, as Nefesh HaChaim pointed out. But otherwise, all people in general, their neshama is no longer contained within their body, their physical body, but it hovers over the person's head, allowing a person to glean from the sparks of Kedusha. But if you have impure thoughts, thought process corresponds to neshama, you are blocking and creating a barrier from being able to glean from the sparks of Kedusha, from the holy sparks that the neshama is able to bestow upon you. So now you have to rectify that as well. There comes Reb Chaim and continues. And he says, if a person sinned chaz v'sholem by harboring impure thoughts, and we already learned once, he said, from one of the Sifrei Musar that pointed out, and this is something he mentioned all, we are human beings, and as a result of being human beings, it is just inevitable that from time to time you're going to have all kinds of thoughts, which we refer to as impure thoughts. That's not what a person is going to be indicted for. What a person is going to be indicted for is not making an attempt to try to get rid of those thoughts. That's what the person is indicted for. The fact that all kinds of thoughts come to a person's mind, person has human nature, and you have various thoughts that will come by very nature, because this is what we are. We have these thoughts, and we have this nature as a Kodesh Baruch Hu who created us with it. However, we also have the ability, and we have to use the forces and the tools available to us. And the more Kedusha that we acquire in our lives will give us the tools and the ammunition to be able to be more successful in banishing those thoughts and ridding ourselves of those thoughts. But we're talking about a person who allows those thoughts to remain and just keeps living with those thoughts. So the chenim chotach hadzishon b'machshava shloi tohera. The goram bazeh, the result, what did he cause? The goram bazeh, if he sins by having impure thoughts, he causes shi'itztalku me'olov, to remove from him nitzutzei zoyhar nishmosoi. By sinning by impure thoughts, what he causes is that the radiant sparks of the neshama element, which hovered over his head, to depart. That's what he's causing. Right? So he's causing the radiant sparks, the radiant sparks that were hovering over his head through the impure thoughts and machshava, he's causing them to depart. Till now, before he sinned, till now, behiloi neiroi alei roishoi, it's a pasuk in here. Till now, so to speak, his lamp would shine over my head. It's an expression, a spiritual lamp. So the spiritual spark would be shining over his head. That's until he sinned. But now that he sinned with impure thoughts, so now he caused them to depart. So what do you do? How do you rectify that? What is the etzer? What is the medium? What is the recipe? What is the prescription of restoring those nitzotzes, those radiant sparks, impure thoughts? How do you rectify impure thoughts? Do tshuva on that. That is Torah. Because you know why? Torah is in the mind. And therefore, if one sins with the mind, you need an exercise, kedusha in the mind. What is the ultimate kedusha that a person can fill his mind with? That's with Torah. There's nothing that has more kedusha in any level. That is Torah, learning Torah. When a person learns Torah, you're sanctifying, you're consecrating your mind. You're being mekadesh your mind. And therefore, if the avera was machshavos loy tohoyrois, so the way to rectify that is to put positive machshavos, kedusha to get machshavos. And what is the best way and the highest level and the greatest way, the strongest way, the most perfect way of bringing machshavos tohoyrois into one's mind? Not just simply machshavos tohoyrois, but which have purifying powers. Torah has purifying powers. It's inherent in Torah that Torah purifies. Torah is like a mikveh. And therefore, he says, Oda yide etzaka Torah zibina yiseirah. By putting in a lot of mind, not learning superficially, Francis. You open something, you learn it on the surface. We thought, no, that's not going to do it. That's not going to do it. You have to really put your mind into it. You have to sink your mind into it. It's like when somebody wants to figure out, right, wants to solve a mathematical problem, right? He knows he must have to sit maybe an hour to try to figure out. He's going to sit and make sure that nothing else bothers him, nothing distracts him. You have to use your mind to delve into the depths of Torah, the bini yisera, the oimik tuvanosoi. Using it right to the maximum of your ability. You have to immerse yourself totally in Torah. When a person immerses himself totally in Torah, so now you bring back the holy sparks of the neshama, right? So now he basically arouses. She is atzel to emanate toisefes kedusha al shoris neshamoso. So again, now the roadmap begins. So now again, all the Torah that he learns, again, goes all the way up to Shemayim, brings forces of kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes to the root of his neshama. From the root of the neshama, again, it makes its way, as we learn, mishom l'neshamosoi. So there goes to the neshama. Lahachzira, in order now to restore the spiritual light, the spiritual spark, shetoyer olav oira. In order that the light of the neshama should be able again, that the light of the neshama should be able again to bestow holiness upon the person. So Mamela, through totally immersing himself in Torah, he brings back the holy sparks of the neshama, which enables him now look what happens. He profits also above and beyond. Not only he purifies himself, he purifies his mind that was contaminated, but not only that, the fact that he studied Torah, and now through the Torah he purified his mind, he will now get a bonus that his mind becomes elevated to have the ability to understand the mysterious portions of Torah to a greater depth than until now. In other words, if there was any area of limitation in learning, he will have now even a greater ability to understand Torah once he went through this process of tshuva. Here again, the koyach of tshuva. Tshuva not only brings you back to square one, it brings you even to a higher level. This is what the Pachan says. That what happens now, lahaskiloi, it will give these forces of energy that will come of kedusha, that will come to the root of his neshama, from the root of his neshama to his neshama, lahaskiloi, to give him seichel, v'toyra ha'gdoisha, v'bina yisera. Hear that? V'bina yisera, with an extra understanding. With an extra understanding, the Sisre, he says, Tohereo, to understand the mysteries of Torah that he didn't understand even before. And now, Once the neshama again is infused with kedusha, you now have the ability to glean the sparks of kedusha because you've done this tshuva through Torah. You've done tshuva through Torah. So now, from this kedusha, he says, "Bahoir." From this kedusha and from the light of these sparks, this will now emanate further. It'll go down to ruach because the neshama is connected to us. That's the way the roadmap goes. It goes from step to step, from state, level to level. From mishtalshul and it lowers itself. The nishpagam or ruchay and napshoy. These sparks will radiate down to his ruach, down to his nefesh, lahashlimam b'shleimosam, in order to restore them fully. I just want to point out to you that what the Rambam says in the next piece, and if you go back to the sheet I want to show you, so now we can go back to the sheet, actually. Look to the last page. Last page of the sheet. We'll go through it a little bit. And that is, in Kabbalah, there are considered to be, basically, you know, there are thousands of worlds up there. But those thousands of worlds are divided into four worlds. Starting from the higher to low, if you take a look here, we take a look at the four worlds. We see here, Kabbalah teaches us that the totality of existence composed of four worlds in descending order. Okay, the first one, the upper, the most high, is called Atzilus, called the world of emanations. Then there's the world of Bria, that's one lower, the world of Bria, creation. Then the third world is the world of Yetzirah, formation, and then the Olam HaAsiyah, action. Our world is the lowest world. Our world is the world of Asiyah. In Kabbalah, the Rosh HaTevis, it's called Abia. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Aleph is Atzilus, that's the highest world. The world of emanations means that's the world that's closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's one world. Then comes Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. Beis is Bria. The Yud is Yetzirah, the world of formation. And then you have the Ayin, which is the word of Asiyah. So take a look very quickly on the sheet as we see it here. We see that in the Kabbalistic literature, the four worlds are generally referred to by the acronym Abia, Aleph, Beis, Yud, Ayin. And these worlds can exist only because Hashem has made room for them. In other words, this was necessary because when the divine radiance shines in unrestricted brilliance, nothing else can exist. And so Hashem has withdrawn and hidden his all-pervasive self, allowing the physical universe to come to being. In other words, Kabbalah believes the following. You realize that Hashem is Meloi Kolos Kavoido. Hashem permeates, he's everywhere. So that's the question. If Hashem fills the entire universe, everything, beyond everything, so where's the space that he created this world? So where's the space? If Hashem fills every, occupies, if there's no place, this is the Lashon of the Zohar, Leis Asar Poni Menei, there's no place, there's no Mokim without the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then we have a problem. We have a problem if HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually permeates and exists everywhere, right? Everywhere. And so where is this world created? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, as it said in Arizal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtzim himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually withdrew or contracted himself, as it were, in order to make space that the world should exist. And even in the world, there is, of course, reflections of Hashem everywhere. But in a certain sense, Hashem retracted. That's what's mentioned over here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically, he withdrew. He withdrew in order to allow, so all those places where Hashem placed a world here, a world there, and another world, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself, as it were, removed himself, was mitzamtzim, contracted himself, to allow in that space. Now, we go further. So descending from the higher to the lower worlds, as you go lower, Hashem is concealed more and more. In other words, the higher we go, Hashem is revealed more and more. The lower we go, this world is the lowest world, therefore Hashem is concealed. It means, therefore, there's the ability to deny Hashem. This is the test of man. Had Hashem been openly revealed, and of course then there's no need to have a world with people in it, because then everything is open, you know there's God, you know there's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and there's no test, there's nothing. So the lower, of course, that the worlds go gradually between the four worlds, as pointed out, the radiance of Hashem is most evident in the world of emanation, which is the most upper world. And it's almost completely obscured in the world of action. It's our world, which is our world. Which means that the creatures of the higher world, like the angels, the Malachim, Yavo Ifamim, Slofim, and Chayes, they are more like Hashem, and they are closer to Hashem. So they, of course, Malachim can more clearly perceive the divine life. By contrast, inhabitants of the world of action, meaning man, our world, we are separated from Hashem by a massive barrier of corporeality, right? We are material beings. So this barrier effectively shuts out the divine radiance and leads many people to doubt or even deny the existence of a creator, of course. And they delude themselves to thinking that they are masters of the world. They take the cue from Paroi, right, who was the archetypical atheist who proclaims the Potsuk in Yechezkel. Paroi said, "The Nile was my own, I made it myself." It's only when disaster struck in the form of the 10 plagues, the 10 makas, that Paroi sees the light. And then he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hashem HaTzadik," right? Hashem is just, Saniva Ami Rishoyim, right? That's what Paroi said. So now, what am I making this point here? Making the point is, because now we'll appreciate it, we have these four worlds. We are so far removed from the Olam HaTzilus, from the upper world. That's the one closest to Hashem. This is the lowest world. The lowest world in which Hashem is mostly hidden from. Reb Chaim says in the next few lines, that we're just going to take another 2 or 3 minutes. Reb Chaim says in the next paragraph, when you say, Omen Yehesh Mei Rabo, says you have an idea what you accomplish, it goes and breaks through all the way to the upper world. We're now in this lowest, lowest world. But the power of Omen Yehesh Mei Rabo, he says, empowers and fills in. And forces of Kedusha emanate, he says, into all the worlds. Those worlds that we b'chlau have no shaykhis with, that we have no connection with from us, from the standpoint of this world being so far removed. And yet, we impress by the way that we are able to say, this particular, Omen Yesh Mei Rabba, is a tremendous force. Look at the Roshan of Reb Chaim. L'chein Omer Chazal. And therefore Chazal has told us, that he said, "Koloin omen yesh meirabah mevorach b'chol koicho." If someone says it with all his power, it means with all his kavon. According to some opinions, some say they should say it loudly as well. Koidim like gzardinoi. When you say omen yesh meirabah, you're gzardin. If there's a sentence looming over your head, you're able to tear every bad sentence by saying omen yesh meirabah. Even more, the Gemara says, "Afilu yesh b'shemet shel avodah zorah meichloi." By saying omen yesh meirabah with kavon, Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you, even if you have traces of idolatry. Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you, of course. It means you want to do tshuva, of course. But the power of Omen Yesh Mei Rabah. Ki ikar kavona zeh ha-shevach, because what is the purpose, the kavona of this type of praise? Well, this praise basically is, it's like a key. You have to imagine like this. Imagine you have in Shemayim, way up high, you have a tower that's filled with Kedusha, but it's locked. Someone would have a key to open that door, and all of a sudden you open the door, and all the inside, he said, all the force of Kedusha would just force, pressure themselves out, would just be pushed out. What is the key that opens up the towers of Kedusha and Shemayim? It's Omen Yesh Mei Rabah, happens to be that formula. He's telling you, like, today we have codes, right? You push buttons. You push the button, the door opens, the lock opens. No, this Omen Yesh Mei Rabah is the push button. Say, Omen Yesh Mei Rabah is the push button to bring out tremendous forces of Kedusha, which will fill all the four worlds that we just learned about. And here's what Reb Chaim says. Ki'ika kavona ze'ashevach, again, she is atzil to emanate by saying this praise. It causes to emanate the Yushpat, the Sefes, Brocha, the Shifas, Oyer Elyon. A tremendous, he says, a tremendous hashpah of the upper light, the Chol HaDalad Oylemus Abiyah, what we just learned about. Saying Omen Yesh Mei Rabah fills with Kedusha, with holiness, all the four worlds. Even though we're so far down, we're in this lowest world. But now by saying in this world, Omen Yesh Mei Rabah, we fill all the upper worlds. The Zehu, now you'll understand, a new understanding. You ever realize what you say? Listen to what you say. Omen Yesh Mei Rabah Mevorach, Hashem's name should be blessed. The Olam, Olnei, Olmayo. You're repeating Olam, Olam, Olam. What's the meaning? Look what Reb Chaim says. What you're saying is as follows. Then let HaKadosh Baruch Hu fill this world, the upper world, the world in between. As he points out, Yehesh Mei Rabah Mevorach Hainu, which means she is Atzel, they should emanate Brochit, but they said it's Kedusha. In addition, Kedusha, Memenu is Baruch Shumai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring out Kedusha from himself. Where to? Ad le'olam. Le'olam is the first, the highest world. That's the Olam Atzilus, that's the world of emanation. U'misham gam le'olmei, that's plural. That's the next two. That's the next two. That's Olam Bria and Olam Yetzira. That's the other two. And Beis Olam is Bria, Yetzira. And then we say Olmayo. Le'olam ol'olmei, Olmayo. That's the final world. That's our world. So you see in reference to all the four worlds are mentioned in Omen Yesh Mei Rabah. Yehesh Mei Rabah, we have reference to Olam, Olmei, plural, that's two, Olmayo. Reference to Olam Oatsiyah, this is our world, the world of action. And you know what Reb Chaim tells us? Those four worlds correspond to the four levels of our soul, of our neshama. Why? We have the Shayrish neshama, the root, we have the neshama, we have the ruach, we have the nefesh. These four worlds, says Reb Chaim, correspond. They heim Shayrish. In other words, these four worlds are the root of Hadalah Dargin of the four Madregish Ol Odom. Shoyrish HaNeshoma, that's one. V'naran. V'naran is V'nefesh, Ruach Neshoma. So Shoyrish is one. V'naran, three. Nun, Resh Nun, Nefesh Neshama, he says. And look what happens. When a person has in mind, if he says it with Kavonah, when you don't just say the words, when you say, Omen Yesh Me Rabu, you say it with intent. Bekedusha, with holiness. Bekedusha's Machshavtoi, Ba'mira Zeh HaShrevach, by saying this praise, La'oyrel HaShpia Al Yodoi, what you call the tremendous benevolence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows, Toisefes Kedusha, Brocha Al Shoresh Nishmasoi. Your own Neshama, first of all, becomes filled with Kedusha. And from there, Misham, first the root of your Neshama. Again, this is the same roadmap. By saying Omen Yesh Me Rabu, notice the same way with Tshuva causes. Tshuva causes that brings out Kedusha from Shemayim, down to the root, from the root to the Neshama, the Neshama to Ruach to Nefesh. Omen Yesh Me Rabu accomplishes the similar thing, same roadmap as Tshuva has. Just in general, Omen Yesh Me Rabu. Whenever you say Omen Yesh Me Rabu, you're bringing back containers and containers of Kedusha back to your being, he says. What you have is, you're bringing Kedusha and Brocha to the Shayush Neshama, Neshama al Nishmosoi, the Ruchai Venapshoi, and Goyram Bazeh. And so if you bring so much Kedusha, so any sin that you might have had just disappears. It becomes dissolved in the abundance of so much Kedusha that your being is being filled with, your Nefesh, your Ruach. Therefore, it says Goyram Bazeh, Lahosim, Olachali, Kol Ovin, Vachet, Ashachoto. Therefore, it wipes out, it erases any chet that you are chayte be'ezeh b'chin and melu agimel. In any level of these three, nefesh, ruach, neshama, make a difference. Because you have filled all three levels, filled with a tremendous force of kedusha. But hoyu kloy hoyu, all your averus is ziv non-existent. They never were, never existed. The zeh kol ikar inyan ha-tshuva ha-mitis. And that's exactly the same thing that with tshuva works. Ochein moichel noy al-kol ha-venoysev. There's a lot to talk about. I think it's enough for now, for one. But we have a little bit of an idea to see what's going on, Rabbi, behind the scenes. There's tremendous things happening here. And we have no idea every time we say a word. But we should understand that kol oimen omen yesh me'rabah. Again, if we didn't think that the great powers of omen yesh me'rabah, even though we thought we know something, but now we have an idea of what tremendous turmoil every time you say omen yesh me'rabah, what it causes in all the four worlds in Shemayim. But best of all for ourselves, all of the four madregas within ourselves, the Shayrish Nishama, the Nisham Ruch of Nefesh, becomes elevated, and we are Zoichet to Moichin Loikol of Anosa. We should take advantage of it.